Amen. Amen. As the offering goes around, we're gonna get started. Can you hear me? All right. Awesome. I'm gonna put this scripture up here. It's gonna be the basis for what we're talking about today. There we go. It'll be on the screen periodically as well. But I wanted to leave it up there the whole time because I wanted you to be able to see what we're talking about. I was working this week writing a wrap up because I think I sent a message out that we're starting a new series, and we are. But in the midst of writing the wrap-up, I discovered, well, what I was doing was there's a handful of one another's that we weren't going to take a whole Sunday for, and I discovered that a couple of them needed more than just a wrap-up. And this is one of them. So we're going to add a couple, at least one more before the wrap-up. And this one sounds innocuous, and I've entitled it what Scripture has entitled it, Welcome One Another. Romans 15, 17 says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, it seems obvious. You might be thinking, wow, this is an easy one, right? The one another's, they've been hard. We have one another's all the way around the edge of the room. Don't lie to one another. Don't gossip. Build one another up. Build up unity among one another. We have these all around us to remind us, forgive one another. One of those Sundays I was gone, Dick spoke about love one another. We don't have one up for that one, but I just wanted to remind you, in fact, this message today is going to wrap up in how we love one another. But this word welcome carries with it the idea of receiving one another or accepting one another. And you might be, again, sitting there saying, I'm pretty good at welcoming people. I feel like I'm a welcoming person. I feel like I'm an accepting person, that I love other people. In fact, I love everyone, right? You might be thinking that. But I think for us to really get a hold of what we're talking about this morning, we need to start by taking a look at the antonym. You know, I love words and definitions. Often it's easier to grasp something if I tell you what it doesn't mean rather than what it does. So the antonym, or the opposite of the word to welcome, is to reject. That might seem counterintuitive. You might think that it's not to not welcome. But if welcoming carries with it the idea of accepting, then being unwelcoming carries with it the idea of rejecting. There are plenty of reasons for us to reject people around us, aren't there? Some of them are small reasons. They're innocuous. They're simple. Cubs versus Sox. That's a simple one. Ooh. Ooh. Coffee versus tea. I'm a coffee person. I'll drink tea in the winter, but mostly a coffee person. Morning person versus night person. Now, these are simple ones. They're pretty innocuous, right? But there are others that are not so simple, that are much more complex. Politics. We have plenty of reason to reject one another over political reasons. The best way to school and raise your children. I've seen some good arguments between moms and dads, homeschool, public school, private school. It can get ugly. How about COVID measures? Ooh, you were hoping you would never hear anything about COVID again, but it's still out there. We're still dealing with it, right? COVID measures, to mask or not to mask, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate. These are things that for some of us, they really get our goat, don't they? And we can cast certain groups of people in an unfavorable light, and in fact, in our hearts, reject them. And maybe not so often just in our hearts, but maybe literally with our mouths. Maybe with our fingers on Facebook, right? With our digital social media lives. When you begin to think about the sheer number of things that separate us, it is a wonder to me that any of us can ever get along. Have you ever thought about that? You ever like, how does anybody ever get along? Because there are so many reasons for us to reject one another. Not just within the church, but within the world. The church versus the world versus itself. There are so many ways and reasons for us to reject one another. Paul, in the book of Romans here, is literally saying that no matter how different your views and your positions are, in this world, welcome one another. Accept one another. For what reason? That's why I wanted this to stay up there. For the glory of God. If for no other reason in the world, why you would accept somebody who holds different views than you, do it for the glory of God. If there's any other reason at all why you would spend time with somebody who doesn't believe or think or function in the same way you do, why? For God's glory. We do it for God's glory. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, this is where this message really begins to rub. This is the rub of the message today. Because we have these ideas as Christians, and sometimes we get confused. We get this complicated idea between accepting and approving. And so that's really where this message is going to land today. Is why? What are we talking about here? What is the difference between accepting and approving? I want to draw a very, very fine distinction here, if you will, that there is a difference between accepting and approving. Thinking about how God loves us, use that as kind of a premise for this. Think about the way that God loves us when we draw this distinction. How does he love us? First of all, he loves us enough to send his only son to die for us. Right? Unconditional self-sacrifice. God sent his son to die for us, even when we were trapped and dying in our sin and undeserved, arguably undeserving. There's no way you could argue that we deserve the grace of God in the sacrifice of his son. But he did it for us. His love is not bound by our sin. He accepts us. And he loves us, even in our sinful state. God looked down and he said, sinful humanity, you deserve, because of sin, the wrath of God, destruction is upon you. You can read about it in Scripture, and we talk about this all the time. But God, in his great love, said, I want to send my son to die for you. He accepts us. He welcomes us, if you will, into relationship through Christ. God does not, however, we know, approve of our sin. There's a difference between accepting and approving, right? This is difficult for the world to understand when the church talks about it. Guess what? It's difficult for the church to understand when the church talks about it. It's difficult for you and I to understand. And we have to get it right, but more often than not, guess what? We get it wrong. God does not approve of our sin. He loves us despite our sin, but our sin, our personal sin, your personal sin, my personal sin, keeps us separated from God without a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. And that is the state of all humanity without Christ, separated from God by sin. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. It's going to be up here on the screen. It says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some account slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is welcoming of all. He welcomes all. All are welcome to receive the repentance. He's not willing or wishing that any would perish, but he is not approving of our sin condition. Otherwise, there would be no need for the sacrifice of Christ. If God approved of our sin condition, Christ's sacrifice would be unnecessary. Romans says in the book of Romans, over and over again, Paul talks about our separation from God due to sin. I think this is where our culture around us finds the complication. And I think this is where the church struggles as well. Because I think we struggle between the idea of acceptance and the idea of approving. We confuse this idea, and based upon the model of Christ, can the church and each of us as believers, can we learn to welcome or accept any person in any life situation? The answer to that question should be yes. If you read the gospel, you study the life of Christ, a Christian person, regenerated, saved by the sacrifice of Christ, should be able to love and welcome any person regardless of any life situation. Now, can the church or each of us or individually approve of people's choices? And I think most of us would say no. And this is where the rub happens. And we're going to get back to that in a minute. So put a pin in that. We're going to come back to it. But I want to take Jesus Christ here for an example. If you'll take a Bible, turn to Mark 2. It's going to be on the screen as well. But if there's Bibles under the seats, you can use your iPad, your phone, whatever you've got there. Look up Mark 2. We're going to take a page from the life of Christ here and see how he handles this. Mark 2, starting in verse 13, it says this. The he refers here to Christ. It says, he went out again by beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose, and he followed him. As he reclined at a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with sinners and tax collectors?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." There's three things here that are clear. There's probably a lot more, but we're just going to talk briefly about three. It's clear from this passage, Jesus welcomed and was welcomed by those who were far away from him. There was something magnetic about Christ in that, and not just because he was the Son of God, but in that he was so different and so transformative that when he walked by this tax collector, who they were looked down upon because they were robbing people to line their own pockets. They would pay the taxes, but they would line their own pockets as well. They were hated. And then there were other people there. We don't know what their professions were, but they were referred to as tax collectors and sinners. Jesus hung out with these people. He accepted them. He welcomed them. He ate with them. Think about eating with people. Who do you eat with? You eat with the people you love. You eat with family. You eat with friends. In Europe, when we lived in Europe, it was interesting. A lot of times in Europe, a lot of restaurants have communal tables and you sit with people you don't know. It takes a little getting used to sit with strangers. But Jesus was sitting with strangers, right? He had just met Levi on the road and said, "Follow me." He got up, he followed him. That magnetic Jesus calling, he followed him and he went and they sat and they ate together. So there was something here about a mutual atmosphere that Christ exuded that was one of welcoming and loving and accepting. And I want us to get hold of that. People in this world need to be loved. And it's our job to emulate Christ and his model by loving people well, regardless of who they are, where they've been, or what sin they're caught up under. Remember, this is the model of Christ. It's also clear that while welcoming and accepting those with whom he was eating and spending time with, he did not approve of their condition, did he? We know that because he said their sin condition was such that they were sick and in need of a healer. Why, he said to the Pharisees, would I come and eat with those who need no healing? I spend my time with those who are in need of healing. So the magnetic personality of Christ who welcomed and accepted people also was pointed, wasn't he? He said to the Pharisees, arguably in front of the people with whom he was eating, the sick, the sinners need the doctor. They need healing. They need forgiveness. So he was not accepting of their personal sin condition, but he was welcoming of their person. We have a really hard time making that distinction as Christians, don't we? And I think the world has a hard time seeing that distinction in us, probably because we've done such a bad job of making that distinction. It's equally clear, this is the third thing, that the religious establishment struggled, just as we do, to see the difference. For Christ, it was crystal clear. He could see the difference between love and acceptance and welcoming, and he could see the difference between disapproval of sin, and in fact, that the sin had a way of separating man from God. He could live in that tension, and I think we struggle to live in that kind of tension. And in fact, sometimes it's easier for us just to surround ourselves with people who we know are already believers, because there's no tension there. We can disagree about silly stuff instead of about important things. It's clear the religious establishment struggled to see the difference because of what they said.
this man, Jesus, you know, he claims to be one thing, but here he is hanging out with sinners and tax collectors. And Jesus corrects them by saying, I came for the sick, not for those who are well. And I think he said that tongue in cheek because the Pharisees were by no means well. And we know that from what he says later. I think it's important, and that's why I was just like, this is too much for a wrap-up. I think it's important, and out of all the one another's we've talked about, maybe this one got overlooked, might be one of the most important for us to get a hold of. Because there's so much room for error here, and the line that we must walk on this is so very narrow and so very tenuous. If we err on the side of both approving and welcoming people, we have to take some of what Scripture says and throw it away. And there are churches and people who call themselves Christians all the time that do that. They're like, well, we want to be more welcoming and more accepting of this sin, so we're going to ignore these passages. So if we're not careful to teach and expect and place importance upon the regeneration of Christ for our sin, then we have to reject some of what the Bible says. So that's one side of this we can fall on if we're not careful. To make our position fit, we have to pick and choose what we will believe from Scripture. But sin is still sin, and we really can't just cherry pick what we want to believe. It makes no sense to do that. I'm going to follow 90% of the Bible. Why? If you're going to follow what Scripture says and live it out and strive for it 100%, why try at all? So there's that side. The book of Revelation, Proverbs, Deuteronomy, other books, all contain warnings against distorting the teaching of the Bible in any way, whether through addition, subtraction, falsification, alteration, or intentional misinterpretations. Revelation 22 says of itself, do not add or take away from the Word of God, specifically talking about the book of Revelation, but can be extrapolated to extend to the whole book of the Bible, all the books. Proverbs 6 says, every word of God is true. Do not add to the words of God. That's pretty pointed, right? Don't add. Don't take away. Deuteronomy 4 says, keep and do the words of God. So we can't err on the side of making our ideas of what we want to be true fit in Scripture by accepting and rejecting certain parts. Now, the other side is just as bad, isn't it? And unfortunately, that's the side churches that want to follow Scripture tend to land on more often. And that is by not welcoming or approving people who are caught in sin. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, I can't. And we employ misguided use of Scripture to say, you know, in the world, not of it. I'm not going to be around those kind. We even employ word those kind of people. I'm not going to be around those kind of people because of their sin. Have you ever said that? Some of you, I hope you're cringing because I think we've all said stuff like that. We should be cringing when we hear that because that doesn't sound like Jesus Christ, does it? It doesn't sound like Jesus Christ to say, I never read anywhere in Scripture where Jesus said, well, there was somebody, they're too bad for me to be, I'm not going to be around that person. Those kind of people, I'm not going to be around. But if you study church history, if you study your own church, you study your own heart, you will probably discover that at one time or another, we have all become or been, maybe even currently being the Pharisees that Jesus was warning people about. By neither accepting and welcoming or approving, by just completely, the antonym here, rejecting. Rejecting people. Jesus was warning everyone about the ultimate judgment in Matthew 7, saying that the judgment belongs to God, and this is where we have to grab on. This is what we have to get hold of. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Jesus says, judge not that you Let me read that again. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own? Oof. Right? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In James 4, 12, it says, there's only one lawgiver and judge. It is he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And we fall into the judgy Christian. And I think that's one of the things the culture, when they see Christians and they find that we more often than not fall on that Pharisee side, neither welcoming or accepting or approving. And it is hard to see that line. I understand. It's very difficult. Where do we land on the continuum of accepting and approving everything or rejecting and disapproving of everything? We have to fall on the Jesus line, the line of love. And it is right in between, and it is narrow, and it is uncomfortable, and it is tension, and it is awkward, and we don't like any of those things. We don't want to have a life that's tense. We don't want to be around those people. But Jesus Christ made it his purpose to be around those people because he loves those people. Guess what? You and I are those people. Jesus loves you, and he loves me. And he calls us to be like him and hold, I just made this up, hold the line of love. There's a very narrow line in between, and we hold it. We welcome, we accept, and we love. And in the midst of unconditional love, we hold out the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as difficult as it is, as pointed and blunt as it is. We do the same thing Christ did. Christ accepted and he loved, but he did not approve, and he made that clear. But he did it in a way that loved others. And we have to find a way to do that without being judgy, because it is not ours to judge. Doing this all the time, remembering judgment belongs to God alone. We love and we accept, and we do this to follow the model of Christ. John 13, 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, also are you to love one another. He doesn't say love those who are like you. Love those that you like. That'd be difficult even in families, right? Yeah. Love one another. Love in the model of Christ. Love in the way that Christ lives. So then we live in an awkward and uncomfortable space where we have to stretch and we have to grow and we have to love people who are not like us, people who don't think like us, people who don't believe like us. But we do it because Christ first loved us. And because he commanded us to, we love unconditionally. We leave the judgment to God. We hold out the hope of the gospel. Unconditionally literally means that, without conditions. I love definitions. I looked it up because I thought maybe there might be something interesting there, but it's not. Unconditionally just means not subject to any conditions. That's the kind of love with which God loved us. It was unconditional. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't do anything to procure it, to buy it. We couldn't do enough good to outweigh the sin in our own lives. God loves us unconditionally. He welcomes us unconditionally. He accepts us unconditionally. He does not approve of our sin and our sin. But and that's hard for us to understand, right? Imagine if it's hard for us to understand, how much more difficult it is for somebody in the world to understand who doesn't have any shoulders to rub with the church, when all they see of the church are the Pharisees. But God's called us not to be Pharisees. God's called us to be Christians. The word Christian literally means little Christ. We're supposed to be little emulations of Christ, loving, accepting, welcoming, holding out the gospel. And while we were loving and will be loving to one another, we point to the change that God demands in each of us, and we hold out the hope for the gospel, the real and true, effective gospel of Jesus Christ that is fully able to make the foulest clean. among who I am chief. I love Paul said that. The chief of sinners. I think we could all say that, right? We could all say that. We know our hearts. We continually seek God. We continually ask him to change us, to forgive us, and to teach us how to love one another again and again and again. I there was a song that played before the service, and I've heard it a million times on the radio, Run to the Father, and he says, I'll run to the Father again and again and again. And I've for some reason this week, that song played on the radio, and I was like, wow. I'll run to the Father again and again and again. And maybe this is one of those issues we need to run to the Father on again and again and again. Because I guarantee you, when I talked about this today, you were conflicted about what I was saying. I was conflicted about what I was saying. But I read it out of the Bible that we claim that we believe. And so if Jesus Christ can love everyone and accept everyone and welcome everyone, maybe I can too. And maybe you can too. But only through the power of Jesus Christ at work in us. Not because of our goodness or our perceived rightness or our Pharisaical position that we think we have because of who we are in Christ. We can learn to love and accept and welcome because Christ first loved us. That's the best pattern. I'm gonna assign you a little reading this week. I'm gonna read it right now. I was waffling back and forth about reading it. You know, I love to read scripture and have scripture read in church. But read this week, 1 John 4. The books of John, 1, 2, 3, they talk a lot about love. 1 John chapter 4. Just take some time this week to study this. Verses 7 through 21 of 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read it. Just let it wash over you as I read it. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and we're going to make some more joyful noise to the Lord for his glory. But let this sink in. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Why? For the glory of God. Because Jesus first did it for you and for me and all who will call upon his name. So we rub shoulders with those who are not like us, those that we don't want to accept, those that we feel more comfortable rejecting, but we accept and we love because Christ first loved us. Listen to what it says here. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world. And listen to what he says. I started at the beginning. I just wanted to read it all. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. They speak from the world. The world listens to them. We are from God. Who knows God? We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Listen to what he says. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, accept one another, welcome one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have the confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment that we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's a pretty pointed command, isn't it? Love one another. Accept one another. Welcome one another. And while you're doing it, make a friend. Hold out the gospel of hope. Man, wouldn't you just love to be as magnetic as Jesus? Is that something we can become? Do you think that's something? I've met people like that, that are magnetic with the gospel. They don't pull any punches, and they tell people right where they're at, but people still come to them. They still gather around them. They still seek them out. Why? Because of their love. Because of their true love, their unconditional love. Could God, would God make us to be loving people, so magnetic that people couldn't resist being loved by us, and in turn hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved? That's my prayer. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray out of an abundance of what this scripture says. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for your glory. Lord, we pray and we ask for that. Teach us to love. Teach us to welcome. Teach us to accept. Lord, create in us this magnetism Christ has. I don't know how to explain it. He right in front of the people that he was talking to, he told the Pharisees, these folks are sick and they need a healer. But they knew Christ loved them, and they stayed. And they heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of them became his closest 12 followers. And a host of other followers beside that supported his work throughout his earthly ministry. And Lord, that love for those broken people that the world would reject, that the church would reject, Jesus Christ built the church on those people. Lord, let us never forget that you are building your church, your bride, out of the most broken, out of the most sinful, out of the most ungodly, out of the chief of sinners. And you do it by loving people, loving them literally into relationship. Lord, I pray that you will teach us to love in such a great way that people clamor to hear the bad news and the good news of the gospel. Lord, let us never be judgmental. Lord, teach us not to be Pharisees. Forgive us where we have and are being. Change our hearts. Make us like Christ. Continue to conform us into the image of Christ as you change us, Lord, that we might learn to love the way Christ loved. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.